My name is Mike Morgan.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to study God's Word with us. We are currently in a series of sermons from the book of Genesis. The title of our message this morning is, And He Died. Our text, Genesis chapter 5. Please open your Bibles and let's study God's Word together. In Genesis chapter 4, we have two seed lines. Cain, those who are earthly, sensual, and Abel, those who recognize their need for God. There are two worshipers, Cain, the false worshiper, and Abel, the true worshiper. There are two methods of worship, humanistic and according to divine revelation. There are two kinds of lives, earthly and spiritual. And there are two kinds of homes, worldly and religious. Genesis chapters 4 and 5 contain the only history that we have of this period of time. This may be God's way of causing those who reject the Bible to acknowledge His Word or live in darkness. After killing his brother, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He removed himself from the place where men worshiped God. He willingly renounced the true God and cast off all fear of Jehovah from his eyes. Although forgiveness was available through repentance, Cain chose the path that leads to destruction. His end was worse than the beginning. How many people today have willfully removed themselves from the presence of the Lord? Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Matthew 7, verse 21. How many so-called Christians will say in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name," only to find themselves removed from the presence of the Lord when Jesus says, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. Why will they be cast out? Because they fail to obey the simple gospel truth. How many people who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power? Well, the answer, every last one of them. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9. Hell is destruction from the presence of the Lord. It is a perpetual banishment from the fountain of all good for eternity. 2 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Why will these people miss heaven? Because they fail to obey the simple gospel truth. Cain dwelt in the land of Nod. The word means wandering. It does not refer to a city, but to the wandering in a relatively barren area that became a part of Cain's life. This is all we know, and it is all that we need to know in order to keep us from making the same mistake that Cain made. The line of Seth stands in dramatic contrast to that of Cain, and demonstrates that the godly must separate themselves from the ungodly. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. These two seed lines will become intermingled in chapter 6, when the sons of God, Seth's seed line, will marry the daughters of men, Cain's seed line. Next week, we will see the disaster that comes when the godly and ungodly marry or intermingle. In that relationship, godliness always suffers. Genesis 5 is a history of Adam down to Noah. 8 times in this chapter we read, "And he died." Remember, Satan said to the woman in the garden, "You will not surely die." History proves that Satan is a liar. Paul said, "For the wages of sin is death." Romans 6, verse 23. A wage is something that you work for in order to help make life better. The devil says the wages of sin is life. He told Eve, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Sounded great at the time. Was it great? They were expecting marvelous things. When they opened their eyes, was it marvelous or horrifying? Today, the enemy of the soul says the reward of sin is ease, comfort, pleasure, and happiness. Every man who has ever believed the devil one day realized that he was lied to. Look at what Jesus says about Satan in John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, look at verse 44. "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Not only does the Bible say that the devil is a liar, history proves it. If history proves the devil is a liar, then history also proves that God tells the truth. What did God say would happen if Adam ate of the forbidden fruit? He said, "You will surely die." Was that the truth? Oh, you bet. Genesis 5 teaches us that God tells the truth, and the history of the world has proven that what God says is true. Let me give you an example. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Has history proven that statement to be true? What about Egypt? History proves that God was right. What about Assyria? History proves that God was right. What about Babylon? History proves that God was right. What about Greece? History proves that God was right. And what about Rome? History proves that God was right. What about the United States of America? Unless there is a return to righteousness and godliness, history will prove that God is right when he says sin is a reproach. Genesis 5 shows that fellowship with God by the obedience of faith is the answer to death. 8 times in this chapter we read, "And he died." But when we come to Enoch, he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Genesis 5, verse 24. The Hebrews writer said that Enoch walked by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 5. After the fall, there are 3 principles by which men are made acceptable to God. First, faithful obedience. Second, fellowship with God. And third, work or service. Notice how simple these fundamental principles are that have to do with our salvation. Enoch was taken off the earth by God because he pleased him. To please God, one must believe that God exists and that he will reward those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. We read next that Cain built a city. He named the city after his son. Whenever men live without God, they try to substitute something to take the place of God. Cain was seeking security in the city, but he found none. Let's take some time and look at Cain's descendants. Lamech took for himself 2 wives. Genesis 4, verse 19. Here we have a further breakdown of the home. God instituted marriage in Genesis 2, verse 24, when he said, "A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Lamech ignored God's instructions on the subject, and polygamy is now introduced into society. This demonstrates that a life without God shows up first in the home. Although polygamy was practiced to some extent in the Old Testament, it was always contrary to God's design, and it never brought genuine happiness to those who practiced it. King David and Solomon would testify to that fact. In most cases, polygamy accelerated even greater levels of unacceptable conduct. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. In Lamech, we have a picture of violence. He murdered somebody and then writes a song about it. He was glorifying violence. Does this not describe our present society? TV programs such as Cops, The First 48, Gangland, and Lock Up are all about violence. There are channels on TV that are devoted to nothing but violence. A section of the Culpeper paper is devoted to police reports. Video games are rated mature because of the violent and suggestive content. Why is that? Because people are following the ways of Cain and his descendants who do not regard God but live for today. City council can pass all the laws that they want to try and curb the violence, but it will not stop it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not for doing away with the laws that are on the books. But until man changes his thinking from Cain to Seth, he will continue to head down the wrong path. After the fall, sinful behavior was becoming more prevalent, and any sense of regret or guilt was fading fast from the line of Cain. The danger that all of us face is allowing the influence of Cain's descendants and their philosophy of life to become our way of thinking. Whenever man decides that the material things of life are of first importance, whenever man ignores and forgets God, whenever man thinks nothing about sin and their spiritual well-being, whenever man has no time for worship or worships according to their own precepts, they are following the footsteps of Cain and his descendants. Next, we have the children. And Adah bore Jabal, He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. The phrase "the father of" means he was the one that introduced it. This appears to be the beginning of commerce. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who played the harp and flute. Music. And as for Zillah, she bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. Here we have inventors of manufacturing. Genesis 4, verses 20 through 22. There is nothing wrong with commerce, music, art, and manufacturing in and of themselves. But when these areas are practiced without God, it leads to ruin. Think about the music we listen to. Music is an expression of the morality of a society. Is it not true that the godless in our society use music to corrupt and destroy the mind? In 1970, Norman Greenbaum wrote a song, "Spirit in the Sky." One line says, "Never been a sinner. I never sinned. I got a friend in Jesus. So you know that when I die, He's going to set me up with the Spirit in the sky." Well, there are four lies in that one verse alone. Modern music glorifies drugs, immorality, gambling, fornication, and just about everything that you can think of that is wrong. Some CDs have an explicit rating, and the same CD will have a clean rating because the filthy language has been removed. Even country music has become so filthy, it's hard to listen to. The religious world has been affected by modern music. There are Christian heavy metal bands that scream, "Jesus loves me," while jumping up and down. Why has this happened? Because people are following the ways of Cain and his descendants who do not regard God but live for today. Listen, aren't you thankful for psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Aren't you thankful for our song leader who directs our heart in worship? The same thing is true of art. How often is art an expression of godlessness instead of righteousness? Art exhibits displayed in these big museums blaspheme God and His Word. It makes light of all that is good and decent. One form of so-called art that is celebrated today is dancing. Well, let's think about that. Take, for example, Dancing with the Stars. Look at the clothing of the dancers, or lack thereof. Is it not designed to catch the eye and spark the lust of the flesh? Look at the movements that the dancers have practiced. Are they not sensual and arouse the intent of the heart? Maybe there's a Christian that says, "Well, I can look at that stuff and it doesn't affect me." Well, here's the question. Would Jesus watch Dancing with the Stars? Another example of modern dance is performed on MTV music videos. I am convinced the daughter of Herodias, who danced before Herod, would be hired immediately by MTV. Can you watch that and not be affected? Would you want your daughter or son behaving like that? Would Jesus watch MTV music videos? Can you see why lewd and lascivious behavior is an abomination to God? Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he may no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. The thinking of Cain and his descendants has influenced our present society for the worst. Genesis chapters 4 and 5 are not just recorded to fill up space. These chapters are written about the history of man and set forth principles that affected men back then and continue to plague men today. Adam's history closes on a positive note. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enoch. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Genesis 4:26. In the recognition of what was taking place in the descendants of Cain, and as a protest of the kind of godless living all around them, Seth began to assemble in the name of God to worship God. Here we have the introduction of preaching and public worship. Public worship provided strength for Seth and his descendants to face a lost and dying world. This shows that in the beginning, public worship had personal benefits. We live in a society that has rejected God and adopted the thinking of Cain and his descendants. How are Christians going to be able to stand up against a godless world? One of the ways is by public worship. Public worship glorifies God and acknowledges His sovereign rule. With one voice we praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. As we sing, pray, meet around the Lord's table, read His Word, and give of our means, we proclaim our faith in His death, burial, and resurrection till He comes. Public worship gives us strength to live a Christ-like life today. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Public worship helps us to go out into a lost and dying world and stand in defense of truth. People that do not appreciate worship or are careless in attendance will not be able to stand in the face of evil. If you don't believe that, just examine the life of a person who is careless about worship. You will see one that is careless about sin and is not strong in his spiritual life. And then again, public worship is a proclamation of one's faith in God. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, verse 26. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What if your neighbor asked you, what church do you go to? Well, I attend the Culpeper Church of Christ. What are your meeting times? Well, on Sunday morning, Bible classes are from 10 to 11, worship service from 11 to 12, and then we meet in the evening from 6 to 7. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. And then they say, Mike, why do you just go one time a week? What will my answer be? Don't you think that our neighbors see us missing services? What are we saying by our actions? If you are not interested in assembling with the saints, you are telling the godless world that God is not important to you. Public worship is one way to proclaim that this world is not my home. It is a solemn reminder to the world that there is more to life than what you see. There is something beyond this life, and that is what I am living for. Public worship is a condemnation of sin. When God's people gather to worship in spirit and truth, this is a blanket condemnation of this sinful, godless world. Public worship is a condemnation of false religion. When the church comes together to worship according to the New Testament pattern without moving to the right or to the left, the church becomes that lamp on a hill giving light to all around. Our text says that Seth began public worship at the birth of his son. Is this a recognition of the fact that in the society his son was to be brought up in, Seth and his family were not going to walk in that way, but serve the Lord? Listen, how important is it to raise our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for taking time to study God's Word with us.